another Comp Vegas podcast. Last episode, I finished up my October trip report. Mentioned on there that before that trip even took off, I booked a couple nights at the Cosmo. And booking those nights there got us pretty excited about our upcoming trip. Love the Cosmo, just haven't had any offers lately. And when I seen 50% off and coming off a big win from my last trip, I figured I'd splurge. Normally don't like paying for rooms, but if you're going to pay for one, it might as well be a decent terrace room with a great view of the fountains, so why not? So I had that booked, and filling up the remaining nights, I booked the Rio. So I booked three nights at the Rio. Always like booking that extra night in between a hotel transition, just so you don't have to worry about checking out real early the day of the move. Sleep in, get your bags in the car when you're ready, maybe after eating, whatever it takes. So that's what I ended up doing for my hotel nights. So reason for staying at the Rio for the start of this trip was going back and forth debating whether I was going to renew my Diamond status or not with Total Rewards, and decided that it really would be, you know, two big days of play. One, I'd have to get 2,500 points, and then another day of getting at least 1,000 points. And with the tier bonuses, that put me at the level I need to be to rank up to Diamond again. And I almost didn't, but the thought of losing that privilege of the comp nights and then the Diamond status at least waives your resort fees. Again, I've still never been into a Diamond lounge, so I don't use that perk. I've yet to use any free show tickets. I don't use that perk, but the resort fee is what lured me back there. I figured I'd give it a try. I wouldn't invest all of it, but kind of devoted a portion of my bankroll, and I wanted to see if I could hit that in the 2 days that we're staying at the Rio. And something I tried last trip in October, figured I'd point it out to anyone that might make the same mistake, but it worked out for me because I didn't get towed away. But always usually take a rental car when we go to Vegas. And in October, when we're staying at the Rio, on the first level of the parking garage, there's these nice big signs that say Diamond Parking. So it's like, oh, sweet. You get these prime spots right there where you cross the walkway to get into the casino. And there was always a couple available. So I started parking there and parked there for a couple of the days of my October trip. And noticed, well, you're supposed to have some type of hanging tag in the mirror. I better ask about the hanging tag I need next time I'm at the Players Club. So I did that, and on the third day of my trip, went in there and asked for that and found out that those fancy parking spots are for locals, so that must be Rio's way to give back to the locals and designating those spots for Diamond and above players that have a Nevada zip code. So did not have one of those, did not get that, but at least I lucked out and was able to enjoy those prime parking spots and didn't get towed away in the process. So you can gamble, try it. It worked for me, but I didn't end up doing that on my December trip. Now that I knew the facts, didn't want to risk it, and kind of a bummer. It'd be nice to offer that to all Diamond players, but I can imagine that the number of Diamond players that they probably have, since they made it a little easier to access it with these bonus credits, that those spots would probably fill up pretty quick. So first thing I noticed on this December trip, we have been in December one other time, and it was over New Year's. So it was obviously a little more hectic, a little different. It was after Christmas. That's the first time before Christmas. So walking in the Rio, they actually play Christmas music in the casino. That was kind of a shock. We both work in retail, so dealing with Christmas music throughout November and December was already a lot. And having that in the casino was a little bit weird, a little different experience. And as we hit other casinos throughout that trip, we realized that Rio was kind of rare. They were the only ones we noticed that in. So whether that's a plus or minus for you, that's just an observation there. Went into the Diamond check-in for the hotel and actually had a nice experience at the start of the trip. And I was thinking this might be a good change here. I walk right in there, I get in line, I get offered a rum, spiced rum kind of cocktail with whipped cream and something else, I don't know. So get greeted with a cocktail while I'm waiting in line, finally get to the check-in counter. They let me know, unfortunately they're out of King Rooms, but they do have me on the Diamond level in the Ipanema Tower, which is the closer tower to the parking garage, so I was excited about that. And when she used the term Diamond Floor, I'm like, well, that's got to be good, right? There should be some decent rooms. So, kind of excited about that. Put my key card in my pocket. offers me a bag of cookies, so it must be for Christmas, they're giving them out, and then a couple bottles of water for the room. So load up my bag with all these extra goodies I got from the Diamond check-in, grab the wife, we get to the hotel tower, go into the elevator, go up to the Diamond floor, and kind of looking at the carpet and the wallpaper, you can tell, you know, it looks about the same the last time we checked in a few years ago and we're in that tower and the older room. Go into the room, and of course, it's not renovated, which I hadn't heard of any renovation, so I didn't really expect that. But being the Diamond floor, something in the back of my head was hoping it'd be a little more special, but honestly wasn't. I actually prefer the Masquerade Tower now that I've been in both fairly recently. Get the somber room, get the upgraded room that's a little further of a walk, because the room was run down. Couldn't get the king bed, so we got two queens. A little uncomfy, you know, the weird entertainment center with the flat screen sitting on top, and you gotta, like, move the whole screen to get it close to your TV, or close to the bed so you can watch it. It's kind of weird, and you gotta open the door, and it's just outdated furniture that wasn't really meant for flat screen TVs to begin with. It could definitely use some renovations there, but, you know, for a comped room on the weekend, I wasn't too terribly upset about it, just a little more disappointed than anything. But regardless, I had something to do, so we went down to the casino, and my mission was to get diamond status again for 2016, and I hit my lucky dollar bonus poker machine. What could go wrong? Last trip, I hit that $4,000 jackpot. Figure, why not? We'll feed a couple hundred and see what happens. And, you know, got to a few more hundred and a few more hundred and ended up the first day down quite a bit. Ate a lot of my money kind of between that. And then I bounced over. There's a quick quads machine there, but it's at the 25-cent level. And you got to play that extra credit for quick quads. So you're playing $3.50 hands. So there you go. You're already $4.50, almost playing the $5 bet that you're putting on the dollar video poker machine. But at least the variance in my head seems a little better. I'm not sure. I've read both differences on the math of it. But if you got three chances of getting your bet back and instead of just one, it does seem to last a little bit longer. But playing that extra credit burns you a little bit, because every non-hand you made, or even a hand that's under the initial bet you made, slowly starts whittling away at your bankroll. So didn't really have any monster hands there that took me over the edge. Ended up a loser for the first day, but racked up enough points between me and my wife playing on the same card again and putting in a lot of hours. We did hit that 2,500 point mark to get the bonus of 5,000 points. So we were on our way. Got one day under the belt. Was really hoping the second day would be a little better, just because of the fact that I lost so much on the first. To change it up, I was there when Michigan State was playing, and I wanted to bet on that Michigan State-Iowa game, so I went down to the Real Sportsbook, and I've probably only bet on one other sports game in the time I'm going to Vegas, so I'm definitely a rookie when it comes to sports betting. So I kind of went to the guy, I said, hey, what's the best way I want to bet on this game? You know, I want to bet right around maybe $40. I was kind of toying with how much I wanted to bet on it. And he's explaining to me the VIG and how it works and what a straight bet was. And eventually he said, well, if you put 50 down, it wouldn't be any extra. And we can, you just have to make sure they win by three to get your win on the bet. So I ended up doing that. And I don't know if any sports bettors out there understand how I was able to get that. If it's maybe just something casinos do occasionally on certain games. But I ended up putting $50 down. They were a negative three at that sports book. It ended up going to negative 3.5. So I was happy to get in on the game when I did, because watching the game, the Spartans ended up winning just by three. So it ended up being a push. And since I didn't pay any VIG on that $50 ticket, I got all my money back. So it was a little weird. I was happy about it. I mean, a push is a win in my book. So that was kind of cool. Didn't watch the game at the Rio. Ended up going across the street. Wanted to change my luck a little bit. I was losing again at the Rio, so we went over to the Gold Coast, played at the bar. They used to have quarter jacks or better at the bar. Now they upped it to 50 cent if you want to play the full 9-6 payback game. So I was kind of used to playing dollars anyway, so 50 cent brought it down a little bit, so I was happy. It was a little slower pace, and jacks are better. The variance lowered a little bit too, so I was happy with that. The guy agreed to turn the Michigan State game on the TV that was right in front of me and kept the coronas coming, so I got to watch the entire game there. Kind of like in my own personal zone, since I had the TV right in front of me. Personal bartender right there playing full pay video poker. I was very happy with that. It was a hell of a game to watch, too. It came right down to the end. And watching my ticket, knowing they had to win by at least three, and they ended up winning by three, so I got my money back. And again, that was weird that I didn't have to pay the extra on that and got my full $50 back from the initial bet I made. So I'll take that as a win. Last time I bet on a Michigan State basketball game, I won my $20 bet. So I'm technically 2 for 2, I guess. So I'm happy with my sports wins so far. But again, if anyone has any information on why I was able to do that without the VIG, or if it's just kind of a fluke, once in a while the casinos do it, I'd be interested to know a little bit more about that. So after the game, we go back to the Rio to play some more. And like I said, this was going to be my wife's trip. Playing just 25 cent, wanted to slow it down a little bit. 25 cent, 7-5 bonus poker, she hits a royal. Thank God, it's always a good thing when one of us hit a royal flush. Happy that she hit it, that helps her out. She didn't have as big of a bankroll this trip since we just came in October. So that added some money to her stockpile there and finished on a good night. I did not finish a winner the second night, but that gave her a lot more ammunition to keep playing, and we ended up getting the points we needed. So by the end of that second night, we did have enough for Diamond for the following year. So I was happy about that. Another cool thing Caesars did was send an email probably a couple weeks before my trip to let me know, hey, end of the year is coming. You still have this $100 celebration dinner to use. And I was a little unsure about that because when I first got Diamond the year prior, I had a celebration dinner and I used that already. So I don't know why I was getting a second one, but I wasn't going to question it. Went to the Players Club and they printed it off for me at Caesars Palace. We decided to use it for the Bacchanal Buffet. I thought I was being smart last time I used my celebration dinner and used it at a place that's not even there anymore at Harrah's. We did the KGB burger, ordered a bunch of appetizers. I figured bang for my buck, I can, you know, order a little bit of everything, get everything I wanted, and I really wished I would have done something different with it. So this time we stuck with what we knew. I went to the Bacchanal again and, you know, had a great dinner. We did the dinner buffet, so you get a little more options on the menu there, and picked at it for as long as we could stand it. Good dessert, good food. I won't go through the food review there. It's been reviewed a ton of times, but still the best buffet in my book. I do want to try Wynn's new buffet. They supposedly recently updated it. And if I ever make it back that way, I know with all their crappy gambling odds and changes going on over there, I haven't made it much of a priority to check that place out. But I do have a March trip coming up here where I most likely will be staying at the Link, and I'll be near the Wynn to maybe check that out at a later time. So in my eyes, the first part of the trip was done. First mission accomplished. I got my Diamond card for next year. The next stop was going to be the Cosmopolitan. Very excited about that. It's always good to leave the nicer room for the tail end of your trip. Just gives you a little more anticipation to build up to it and helps you end on a high note. So going to the Cosmopolitan the next day, park in the parking garage, the cool underground one with the green and red lights to let you know what spots are available. Really is impressive when you think about the small footprint that property's on and how they're able to cram all that in there and how they actually went underground for the parking garage. It's pretty cool. But besides all that stuff, we parked the car, went up to the check-in desk, and a smooth-talking salesperson there seen an opportunity to add a little more money to my bill, but it was worth it, I guess. He asked, you know, have you been here before? No, we stayed here back about a year ago. Oh, what room did you stay in? Trying to get an idea of what we've been through before. I'm like, well, we had the terrace room last time. Strip view again. You know, we really liked it. He's like, oh, so you've never stayed in a suite before then? I'm like, no, we haven't. He's like, well, they don't usually go this cheap, but for extra $50 a night, I can get you into a suite. And, well, I, you know, didn't look at my wife's face. You know, I'm just still talking to him, and then he still pitching it. And he's like, well, you know, the biggest difference, you look at the my front desk here. Now put four of these desks together, and that's going to be the length of the terrace that you have outside. So, well, what do you think? And, And I didn't look at her, and then finally look over to my wife, and he's like, you didn't see your wife's face, did you? Because I, you know, asked her, well, what do you think? And, well, of course, he sold it to her before he even sold it to me, but $50 extra a night, I was already paying for a room, so it's not like I was not already expecting to pay something on it. I was splurging because of my big win on the last trip. So why not check out what a suite looks like? I haven't been there before. And I gotta admit, nothing beats the anticipation of having your room keys and going up the elevator and going into a room that you know is gonna be something special, something you haven't been in before. So we go up to our room, open the door, and it's one of these like weird jagged hallways where you actually go straight and then you have to turn a left and then turn a right. Kind of a weird layout. It wasn't a wraparound suite by any means, but it was definitely a larger room we'd never been in before. So you first come in the room and you actually have your first bathroom there on your left before you get into the kitchen. The kitchen's quite a bit bigger. My last one, just the terrace, I think it was a terrace studio room, had the microwave, which I thought was nice. This one, you get the full fridge, you have a range, you have a microwave, you have like a bar set up. Across from the little kitchen is like a little booth, sit-down eating area, which is kind of cool. Then straight from that, you go into a nice living room area with a big screen TV on the wall, curved couch, and your first set of patio doors that go out to the terrace. So you actually have an entry from the living room into the terrace outside. Separate room goes into the bedroom. It has like the sliding doors to section it off if you wanted to. And bedroom looks similar to the other rooms. Nice TV in the corner, comfy king-size bed, and goes into the main bathroom that has the soaking tub with jets, the big walk-in shower, the dual sinks, nice big bathroom. But it truly is, the value there is in the view in the terrace, which everyone has always said what makes that room special, what makes Cosmo special is having those terrace rooms and having a fountain view. I mean, nothing beats that. That's probably where we spent the majority of our time out there, just going out, having, again, double doors, so double the space out there, messing with my iPhone, got the time-lapse feature, so did a couple fountain shows with that, just messing around. But it's so cool to be able to watch that fountain show from your room up there. You know, be it a little cold being in December, but that's when the room rates are more affordable and when I can actually check out those rooms. I was happy that I got to experience it. I'm going to try to mess with the settings here in this podcast, hopefully be able to put a picture of the room on there, and we'll see how that works out. If not, I'll be updating my website a little later in the month here and put more pictures of how that was and type a more detailed room review on my website at compvegas.com. I think that's as much as I want to go into for this episode. I'm going to have to split this up again. Didn't realize I had as much as I did, but did a lot more gambling on the strip that I'll talk about in the next podcast. A lot of playing at Aria, a lot more craps playing, some interactions I had with my Apple Watch at the craps tables was kind of interesting. So I'll dig into all that and more on the next podcast. Again, you can follow me at DTW2LAS. Check out my website at compvegas.com. Again, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next week.